Turn to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. I'll start reading in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And I'm sure that was more than one time, because they were married for 20 years before she had any children. And so I'm sure he, over those 20 years, he had entreated the Lord. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Let's pray. Our Father, bless your word to our understanding this morning. Enable me to rightly divide the word of truth. Enable me, Lord, to speak in the power of your Spirit. And enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless us with your presence. Forgive us our sins for Christ's sake. We pray for your children here who are sick and afflicted. We pray for them. Pray you would bless and comfort, that you would make your presence known to them. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for all those, all your children throughout this world. Pray for the missionaries. Pray you'd bless their ministry. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. The verse that caught my attention is verse 22. If it be so, why am I thus? If it be so. So we'll get to this verse here in just a minute. But that's the verse that caught my attention. You know, when I look at a portion of Scripture, I really try to find the message that's in that portion of Scripture. Not just verse by verse, what does this, but to find the message that is applicable to us. And this verse just jumped out at me. If it be so, if I'm yours, why so much trouble? Why so much struggle? But we'll get to that here, as I said, in a minute. Now, Isaac was 40 years old. He took Rebekah to wife. And 20 years had gone by. And during that 20 years, he entreated the Lord. He prayed for his wife. Now, the first thing that jumped out at me was our Lord interceding for his church. There is one, and I believe I pointed this out last Thursday, there is one who prays for us, who intercedes for us, not individually, but he also intercedes for us as his church and as his bride. And when the Lord intercedes, he's heard. He said in one place, "Father, I know you always hear me. You always hear me." And when our Lord intercedes, and whatever he intercedes for, or for whomever he intercedes, he gets it. He gets it. That's why over in John 17, he said, "I pray not for the world, but for them that you've given me." Those are the ones I pray for. If he had prayed for the world, he had got it. But our Lord always prays. He always prays in accordance to the will of his Father. There's never a difference in their wills, ever. They are one. They are one in nature, one in purpose, one in design. They are one. But the first thing that stood out was how that Isaac, it says, entreated the Lord for his wife. It just comforts me to know that the Lord intercedes for me. And he intercedes for you. That ought to be comforting to us. Now, we see Rebekah's condition here. It says in verse 21, she was barren. You know, life is of God. Life does not just happen. It does not just happen. No one is born into this world by accident, or she just happened to, you know, get pregnant. Life is of God. God has to give it. It has to come from him. And it says here she was barren. And this is us naturally. This is us naturally. This is how this applies to us. We naturally do not have spiritual life. We are barren, aren't we? We are spiritually barren of life. That is spiritual life. We cannot produce life. Rebecca couldn't produce life. She could not produce life of herself. It was not possible. And it's not possible for us to produce spiritual life. It's not possible. We cannot produce any life apart from God working in us. It takes a powerful work of God for you and I to live. It's like that baby in the field. Remember, it's laying there polluted in its blood. It was cast out because it was so grotesque. It was such a terrible sight. And the mother must have cast it out. And the Lord said, when he passed by, it was a time of love. And when he passed by, he said, I said, live. And that's exactly what happens when God saves a sinner. He commands life. He commands life. And the evidence of that life is faith and repentance. That's the evidence of it. It's not the cause of it. It's the evidence of it. But Rebecca was barren, and that's us naturally. We are spiritually barren. But Rebecca becomes pregnant. Now she knows what it is to have life in her womb. See, she was barren. Now she has life. She has life. And she knows what it is to have life. But it's not what she thought it was going to be. It's not what she thought it was going to be. I know pregnancy for many women is not easy. It's not easy. And childbirth is never easy. Of course, in this day, they give you a shot and make it a lot easier. But childbirth is not easy. Pregnancy is not easy. And this is not what she thought it was going to be, because she says, and it says the children struggled in her womb. She didn't know she had twins. She didn't have an ultrasound done. She didn't have an ultrasound. They didn't have, you know that. They didn't have it. So she has this struggle going in her womb, and there's this struggle, there's this fight between these two boys in her. She says, as she's saying, Lord, if it's so, if it's your will, and I'm, you know, for me to have this child, for me to be pregnant and to give birth, why am I having so much trouble? Why am I having so much trouble? For the first time, she was having a real struggle within. It says there in verse 2 that there's children. See there in verse 22, the children struggled together within her. Here is a picture. Now listen. Here is a very clear picture of the two natures of a believer. Very clear picture of the two natures of the believer. Before there was life in her, there was no struggle, was there? Before you were born of God, before I was born of God, there was no struggle with sin. I had no struggle with sin. The only struggle that I had was trying to figure out how to do what I wanted to do. It wasn't the sin that bothered me. It was trying to accomplish it. That was the problem, how to accomplish it. But when God came in and God gave life, for the first time, I began to struggle with what I am and the things I do. If I'm your child, Lord, if I'm your child, if I've been born again, why am I having so much trouble with sin? Why am I having so much trouble with my thoughts? Why am I having so much trouble with temptation? If I'm yours, why am I thus? And the reason why is because there's two different people in you. That's what he said. There are two nations, but there are two different people in you. Two different ones. One is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When a sinner is born of God, when you were born of God, you were flesh, and now you're spirit. But before, it was just flesh. It was just flesh, and there was no trouble. One is flesh, the other is spirit. One is born of the flesh, the other is born of the spirit. Turn over to John chapter 3, Gospel of John. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 5. Jesus answers Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." It's spirit. There's two different natures. And between these two different natures, that's born of God, one's born of God, one's born of the flesh, there's this constant struggle. There's this constant struggle with sin. There's this constant struggle with that spiritual nature against that old nature, that Adamic nature that we have. Between the old man and the new man. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let me get there. Look in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and that's a capital S, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, it wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What are the things that you would do? This morning, we would worship God, wouldn't we? We would worship God in spirit and in truth. And yet, everything comes in our mind. Things come in our mind. You think, what am I thinking of that for? Where'd that come from? That came from the flesh. That came from the flesh that's warring against the Spirit to keep you from worshiping God as much as possible. I would worship God. You would worship God. We would love God. We would hear from God. We would walk in a manner that's pleasing to God? Don't you want to do that? I want to do that, and I know you want to do that. I know that. But Paul said, I find in me a law that when I would do good, evil is present. It's always present with me. It's always, that principle of evil is always there. I cannot do one thing without some sin touching it. I can't do it. When I do good, evil, that which I would do, I don't do it. Not like I ought to do it. That which I would not do, I do it. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. Let me give you a little contrast here of the two natures of a believer. First of all, the old man, as I just read to you, he's born after the flesh. Flesh is all he is. It can never do any good. The flesh cannot do any good whatsoever. That's why the scripture says there's none good. No, not one, because everyone is born first of the flesh. Everyone. Well, that new man is born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Listen, it cannot sin. It cannot do anything but good. It can't do anything but good. It's born of God. It's born of God. And that the old man, the old nature, is born in sin and shaping in iniquity. That's what David said in Psalm 51. He says, I was born in sin, and I was shaping, I was conceived, I was put together in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He's not saying it was a sinful act, but he's saying that the seed by which I was conceived was sinful. There was nothing spiritual in it. There's nothing good in it. It was sinful. The poison of asp from birth is under our tongue. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 23. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created, not renovated. You're not looking at a renovation. I'm not looking at renovation. God's not into renovation. That's what you and I into. You know, we like antiques, and we like, you know, Scripture said, behold, I make all things new. It's going to be a new heaven, new earth. It's a new you in Christ. He says here, you are created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That old man is from the earth. He's earthy. It's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. That old man, that old nature, it's corruptible. It cannot... Corruptible doesn't become incorruptible. It's corruptible, that's why it's going to be buried. That's what the graveyard's for. It's to bury the corruptible. That's what the graveyard's for. To bury the corruptible. The incorruptible is not going to be buried. The incorruptible is going to be with the Lord. That old man is from the earth. He's earthy. He's conformed to the image of Satan. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father, he'll do. He was a liar from the beginning. You know what that means? You are too. If he's your father, you're just like him. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Every man. That new man, he's from above. He bears the image of the heavenly, and he's conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That which is from heaven is incorruptible. Incorruptible. I believe I said this to you the other night. Why in the world would God give me another nature that can sin just like the old nature? I mean, it's just, he doesn't. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's just the way it is. There was a song sung by Neil Young. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. That song popped in my head, and I thought of that Cats in the Cradle. I don't know if you remember that. Was it Cat Stevens that sang that? Cats in the Cradle. He grows, this young little boy, he grows up and he becomes just like his father. That which is the flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. That which is the flesh is just like Adam. That which is born of the spirit is just like Jesus Christ. Just like him. Look over in Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, look in verses, let me get there, make sure I got the right ones. Look in verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And that's a little less. That's not talking there about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about that. That's that new nature that's born of God. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And then he said, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment. He said, I'll give you a new spirit, and then I'll put my spirit within you. And then, you'll walk after my judgments. Because then, until then, you don't have any ears to hear, eyes to see. You don't have a will to follow him. You don't have it. In Romans 6, it says that old man is crucified with Christ, but that new man is risen with Christ. It is. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in verse 17. Therefore, in verse 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is, he is a new creation. That's what he is. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But he's a new creation. That old nature, that old man, however you want to call it. The scripture calls it the old man. And over in Colossians 3:9, it says, lie not one to another, put off the old man with his deeds, which is lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, fornication, you name it. It's the sins of the flesh. He said, put him off. Put him off. That's the old man. But over in Ephesians chapter 4, turn over there. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I've already read this one to you, but I'm going to read it to you again. He says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put that man on. Put him on. In other words, It's like if you're going to make, if you're going to want something to grow, you're going to feed it. You're going to feed it. You're going to take care of. You're going to take care of it. Cultivate. That which makes the new man grow is what? Christ. You're going to study the Word. You're going to listen to the preaching of the gospel. You're going to pray. You're going to feed that new man. And that's how you put him on. And the other man, you put him off. You don't feed him. You don't feed him. You don't do those things. Go after those things that feeds him. That's why Paul said this in one place. I keep my body under subjection, lest when I preach Christ, I myself be a castaway. But he said, I keep in check those passions. Because he had the same flesh you and I had. He said, I keep that in check. And the way you keep that in check is prayer, listening to the preaching, studying God's Word, seeking the Lord. That's how you keep that in check. It says over in Colossians 3, verse 10, put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He's renewed in knowledge. Before you were born of God, you did not know God. You didn't know God. If you didn't know Christ, you didn't know God. But after being born of God, you have now been renewed in knowledge. You have an understanding. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true. Even in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, here's the question. Why am I thus? If I'm your child, why am I struggling so much with sin? I'll tell you why. Because you're born of God. You're born of God. That's why you struggle with sin. If you have no struggle with sin, if there was not divine life, spiritual life. If there was not spiritual life in you, you wouldn't struggle with sin. I wouldn't struggle with it. I wouldn't have any trouble with it. Before, she was barren. She had no life in her. But now she has life. She's got twins. And she has this struggle going on. And that's the way it is with the believers. They have that old flesh, that old nature, and they have that new nature that's born of God. And there's a constant struggle. And that's why I am thus. That's why I struggle. You know, Paul sounded like a confused man, didn't he? In Romans. That which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, I do. He just sounds like a confused man. He's not a confused man. He's a live man. He's not dead anymore. Dead people don't struggle. The living struggle. The living struggle. Will this struggle ever end? Yes. Yes. When you die. When you die, it will end. The flesh will stay in the grave. And you will go home to be with the Lord. And all this struggle and all this sin and all this corruption is going to be left behind. It's going to go back to the dust. It will when we die, but not till then. Not till then. Till then, it will be when I would do good, evil's present with me. It'll be that way all the way to the end. But here's good news. Let's end this on a note of good news. Let me go back over here to Genesis 25. It says in verse 22, "And she went to inquire of the Lord." Now, that's how you handle inward struggle. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. That's how we handle sin. This is how we handle this struggle that we deal with daily, is we constantly take it before the Lord. And she took this before the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in thy womb and two manner of people Two different types of people in you. And they said, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now here's the good news. Rebekah prays, and the Lord answered her. He hears her prayer, just as he hears ours, and he tells her, there are two manner of people in your womb. And the elder, which is the elder in you? Which is the oldest in you? That old nature. That old nature. I had it first. I had it first. But here's God's promise. The elder shall serve the younger. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin will not have dominion over you. And here's a scripture that I find a lot of comfort in. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's two manner of people in you. One is old. Old, it goes back to the fall. It's what I was born with first. I was born of the flesh. But that flesh is not going to overcome that new man. The Lord's not going to allow it to. And the flesh, now we need to get a hold of this. The flesh, the Lord makes the flesh, the elder, to serve the younger. It's because of my flesh that I learn my dependence on Jesus Christ. I know I need Him. When I see sin in me, and when I have to fight the corruption that's in me, what do? I flee to Christ. It makes me flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me learn more of Him. It makes me lean more on Him. When I realize more and more of what I am, and that the only place I have refuge and rest is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who's serving who? God is using the elder, that old nature, to serve and teach us something, to learn something, and to run us to Christ. Oh, wretched man that I am. Yes, I am. Thank God you know that. As most people do not know what a wretch they are. And God has used that elder to serve and teach and instruct that younger and make that younger one run to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in Him all that he needs. All that he needs. If it be so, if it's your will that I'm your child, if I've been born of God, why am I having so much struggle with sin? I remember back years ago, I had made a profession when I was 20 years old. And my brother, James, had said something to me to the effect that I've been a sinner now, saved by grace. And I said, no, I used to be a sinner. I said, I'm not no more. I remember saying that to him. And 3 years later, I heard the gospel and I learned, yes, you are a sinner. You are a wretched human being. And you need Christ. If it be so, why am I thus? Because you're His. That's why. All right.